here to worship this morning. We thank you for the music. Lord, we thank you for the praise songs. We thank you for the special music by Karen, Lord. We thank you for blessing our hearts, Lord. We thank you for this day. And as we continue to worship you with the preaching of your word, we pray that you would just continually guide us and give us wisdom. Give me boldness and give me encouragement, Lord. We just thank you for what you're going to do in my life and in the life of this congregation. And we give you thanks in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when everything was going right with you? Everything was going right with you in the world. For example, I'm driving down Cedar Avenue. Now, you might be driving down any street that you have. But when you're traveling down the Cedar Avenue and you're just getting every light, you're just crashing. And you say, wow, this is good. And then if you get stuck over in the wrong lane, come down through all that construction, you're stuck over there, and the man over there said, come on in, sister. He waved you in, and you don't have to wait in the lane. And then just as you know, Ms. Moffitt and I know that, just as we get ready to crash that red light, I catch that policeman sitting over there in the corner waiting for me to go through. And then you think to yourself, you know, God is good. Everything is going good. Wow, this must be a God thing. And so everything then is going good with your world. And then as a youth, when you're at school and you've had to do everything you could to try to get the eye of this special person, and then out of the clear blue sky, this person walks over and asks you a question. He wants to ask you a question. And you say, wow, this is truly a God thing. But then the very same night that he asks you for a date, you find out that you have something else planned. Or like I asked the kids in the early service, I said, well, what would you do? And they said, well, my mama said I couldn't go because I would get, if I did work good in school, I could go. But I got suspended, so I couldn't go. My mama said if I cleaned my room, I could go. But I didn't clean my room, so I couldn't go. So all of these things are going good for you. And then on the same day, a different day, everything can go wrong. You get stopped by every red light on the street. If you turn off, there's another red light. You get stuck by that red light. And then if you are traveling, you don't see the red light. You don't see the policeman's in the corner. And then if you get stuck in the wrong lane, the man on the street say, don't even try it. He wasn't going for that move on in that day. See, these are the scenarios like a song I like to listen to. And the song is called, These Are the Things That Drive Me Crazy. Has anybody ever heard that song besides me? Ann and I. Well, I know Keon and I have because we sing it. Come on, help me out on that first line. These are the things. I lost my keys in the great unknown. It's so funny. It said, I lost my keys in the great unknown. Somebody help me, please. I can't find my keys. Somebody called me on the phone because I can't even find my phone. And lights are flashing in the back because I'm doing just a mere 35 in a 25-mile zone. And don't that policeman know I'm in a hurry? It's like times like these when your world is everything but good. And life can be like this on any given day. But sometimes, however, we have seasons of life like this. Times when we feel that God is truly blessing us, and then things change, and we are just barely hanging on, and we can't see any blessings from God. We can't see that, wow, this is a God thing, nor can we hear his voice. And for many of us during these seasons of life, we wonder if God even knows about our pain, even wonder if God is really there. And we might ask the question, where are you, God? So how many of you here today have looked at your own life and asked, God, just where are you? The harder I try to accomplish things, the more difficult things become. The harder I try to cope with this, the harder it gets. I can't solve all these problems by myself. we look at, we ask the question, where are you, God? Today, we are going to look at a passage of the Bible that comes from the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth is one of the books of the Bible named for a woman. And the story of Ruth is really kind of fascinating because she's a woman who knows what it's like to go from having everything going in your favor to seeing her world break up into small bunches and little pieces. But she is also an example of how God can take these little, seemingly insignificant pieces and completely turn our lives around. Now, Ruth had grown up a Moabite, even though the Moabites were not a part of the children of Israel. But she had caught the eye of an Israelite, and he married her. She was sort of adopted into the family of God. She loved her husband, and contrary to her mother-in-law, all these mother-in-law horror stories we hear about, Ruth and her mother-in-law had a wonderful relationship, and they loved each other dearly. Ruth had everything going for her, good life, good family, a loving husband, great mother-in-law, and that was all for about 10 years. And most people, when they refer to the book of Ruth, they call it a love story. A story of deep friendships and loyalty. However, just like in our own life story, things change and things are not what they always seem to be. And it is in this story that God's word shows that there will be times when we need to take a small step out in faith. And that step in faith will make a huge difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, for a little background, the story of Ruth takes place in the period of the Judges. And the period of the Judges was the time when Joshua had led his people into the promised land, and God had given them the land that he had promised them. This was before the kings, any first kings was in the nation, and the country was ruled by people called judges. And since there was no king, we all know how people refer to the days of judges. This is like the Wild Wild West. People did whatever they wanted to do, and because there was no king in the land. It was a time of immorality, idolatry, and a loss of faithfulness in the God of the Bible. And the book of Judges ends on a real sad note because 11 of the 12 tribes had gone to war against the other tribe and practically exterminated their brothers and sisters. And then the book of Ruth comes in right after the book of Judges ends. And it begins with a severe famine affecting the whole nation of Israel. And this famine was like a natural disaster that produced economic losses and tragic deaths in all of the families. It was the worst of time for God's people. It was such a terrible time that this story focuses on this one family who moved from Bethlehem, known as the house of bread, where to Moab, where there was bread, but Moab was a foreign land. So let me update you on the scripture that Ben read for us. Naomi, the three main characters in this story is Naomi, Elimelech, Ruth, and Orpah. Well, that was four. But Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, moved from Bethlehem to Moab to escape the famine that was destroying the land. Elimelech died in Moab. Mahlon and Chilion married two Moabite women by the name of Orpah and Ruth. After 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died. And Naomi got word that God had sent food to her home country, and she decided to go back home. Now, as the story goes, Naomi was grateful for what her daughter-in-laws had done for her through the years, but she knew she had very little to offer them. She could not have more sons so that they could marry. And she wanted what was best for their lives and encouraged them to go back home, remarry and have children and enjoy their lives. They didn't want to leave her, begged to stay with her. Orpah, however, finally decided to go back. Ruth, however, made a pledge that she would not leave Naomi, no matter what the situation was. So the two of them headed back to Naomi's hometown, not knowing what was going to happen once they arrived there. So from the scripture we see this Israelite family, the chosen people, moved from the promised land, which was called the House of Bread, to Moab, a foreign land. And Moab was not only just a foreign land, Moab was one of the nations that had oppressed Israel during the time of Judges. And there was a long history of tension between Moab and Israel. So perhaps when Elimelech and Naomi went to Moab, they were thinking, this will only be for just a short period of time until we get ourselves back on our feet. Or maybe they thought they could really start a new life there. It's hard to know if they were really taking a step out in faith for God to provide to them or anything, because what they thought was that God had abandoned them and they may needed to do something for themselves. So have you ever experienced such a time in your life yourself when times were looking really rough and you were having your own personal famine and you think, I got to do something for myself? See, a famine could be from a lack of money, a lack of friends, a lack of love, a lack of a job. A famine means that you have a huge lack of something in your life and you want to fill it. And you don't see that God is there and you don't feel his hand, so you think you have to do something for yourself. And you think, if I make this one little change or if I do just this one little thing, everything is going to start looking up. But things don't start looking up. And things don't change, and things get continuously worse, and your situation never changed. So as we read in our text, things did get worse for this family. The temporary getaway to Moab lasted more than a decade. 10 years had passed. That's a long time, 10 years. Naomi and Elimelech didn't even see any of their dreams come true, as she had to bury him there in Moab. Their two sons married Ruth and Orpah, but then one son died, and then quickly the funeral for the second son. It's hard times. Naomi and Ruth and Orpah had all become widows, and they are all very poor, and they had no one there in this foreign land to help them. Life had gone from bad to worse, and no one was there. Naomi is in a strange land, and although she's been over there for a decade, it never felt like quite like home. Have you ever been someplace, stayed there, and you know that you needed to go back home? This don't feel like home, and you need to get back home. There are some of you here today whose plans have not worked out the way you had wanted them to go. And I want you to know that if you take this one little step towards God back home, there is a God that has a plan and a purpose for you. And he is the only person that can turn your life around. There is a Savior named Jesus Christ who loves you and can make a difference in your life and can show you the way back home. When Naomi made the decision to go back home, she had nothing to offer her daughter-in-law. So as we read, she presented them with the option to go back home to the land they knew. Now Orpah, she said, well, you know, I'm gonna head on out. She headed back to Moab. But Ruth had noticed something in Naomi that she wanted for herself. She saw Naomi had a faith in a God and that she wanted for herself. Sometimes people don't see God, but they see the faith that you have in God. They can't see the God that you're talking about, but they see how your God is living in you. So Ruth had noticed this something in Ruth, and she wanted this God. And Ruth was willing to take a step of faith, but she wanted to take a step of faith that was going to make a huge difference, not only in her life and in the life of Naomi, but she wanted to take a step of faith that would fill her own spirit. Her step of faith began with a commitment to her mother-in-law, but it also was a commitment to her mother-in-law's God. In verse 16 in our Old Testament, we read, and if Karen We'll put that on the screen. Naomi, when Naomi urges Ruth to go back, if you read this with me, but Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and my God will be God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates me from thee." When Naomi realized Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Haven't you heard that? Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. You always hear it in a romantic, some kind of romantic setting. But this is when Ruth is telling her, your God is going to be my God. Where you go, I will go. Yeah. So together, Naomi and Ruth began a step of faith, this small step of faith, headed in the direction of Israel and in the direction of God's favor. Now, from an outsider's point of view, for Ruth and Naomi, all was lost as they walked from Moab and back to Bethlehem alone. An outsider would see two women at the end of their rope, two women without any hope, two women that the society would see as cursed. And since as they return, even we, the people, can't you just hear us saying, can't you just hear people talking about her? Naomi is back without a husband or a son. She is back with a daughter-in-law, a Gentile, a Moabite. That's what an outsider would see. But God saw two of his children making their way back home. God saw an opportunity to begin to unfold his plan of blessings for their lives. See, sometimes we have to take a step of faith towards God to line ourselves up for the blessings that God has provided. We can't expect all of these blessings just overnight, but he said, do and keep on expecting great things from God. Ruth and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem feeling down and forgotten. The change of location didn't bring any hope, didn't bring any more friends, and then the relatives and their friends was still not ignoring them. How depressing, how sad, when the people you think are going, you can trust and you can lean on, those are the people who ignore you and you can't depend on them. So they had no future. And even these people who should have just stepped up pretended they didn't exist. They didn't know, however, that in God's eye, they were still the treasure of his heart, that he has a plan and a purpose for them, because he has promised this plan to all of his children in the book of Jeremiah, when he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. They are unaware of the fact that God is getting them ready for a great kingdom mission. Ruth is unaware of this kingdom mission, but it is noted that she made one of the most powerful statements of faith in all of Scripture when she said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Ruth had declared that she would follow God no matter what. She would follow God even if the future never got any better. She would follow God even if it led to her death. And Ruth had demonstrated that great faith that God honors. Now, even though Ruth had lost everything, she knew life had to continue. Sometimes when we're down and out, we know we got to still get up and make a living. She had to do something to get food for her and her mother-in-law. And so isn't it amazing that when everything seemed lost, we're so discouraged and brokenhearted, feeling defeated, and we can't see the hand of God. He is still faithful to his promise. Because it is now that Ruth just happened to go into a field to pick up scraps that the field workers had left behind. You see, if you go over into chapter 2, verse 3, Ruth finds herself in the field of Boaz, the distant relative of Naomi. Now, when my friend and I, we talk about this story of Ruth, my friend Helen and I, we talk about this story of Ruth, we always talk about, so when we gonna find our Boaz? We need a Boaz in our lives. We haven't found that Boaz yet. So Helen said, I'm not looking for no Boaz. We are looking for a Boaz. We haven't found that Boaz yet. And I don't think we're going to find him because we ain't going out in no field. So Boaz don't just happen to pop up in here. We're going to miss out. But we said, yes, I am. But Ruth happened to find herself in the field of Boaz. And Boaz is a very rich man. So when Boaz enters the story, this is also when many of us just think this is a wonderful love story. But in reality, this is where we truly see that the hand of God has been with Ruth and Naomi all along. At first, it doesn't seem much that Ruth finds herself in the field of Boaz. However, it is almost incredible that she just happened to find herself in the field of Boaz on the day that Boaz visited that particular field. And as I said, Boaz is a very rich man who is a part of Naomi's family line. And Boaz is in line to make a difference in the life of Ruth and Naomi. And for Ruth just to happen upon the field of Boaz, really quite amazing. It's almost an impossibility. Talk about being at the exact right place at the exact right time. So Helen, you see, we got to get out there into that field. Ruth is unaware of this great coincidence. See, often when we do take a step of faith, we are aligning ourselves up with God's power, not realizing we're opening ourselves up to all of his blessings. We're opening ourselves up to a great move of God's power. To Ruth, when she went out, she is just trying to get by. She is just trying to get enough food for her and Naomi for one meal. She is hungry and she's tired. And if God is planning something great, she is completely unaware of it. At this time, maybe she and Naomi is just thankful they're surviving. But since God have more in store for us, he have more blessings than just surviving for us. Boaz is so impressed with Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law, and he is also impressed that even though she's a beautiful young woman, she does not go chasing after the young men. Instead, she wants to follow the customs of the law of the people of God as it pertains to family life. Boaz recognized that Ruth is a gem for anyone to have as a wife. And when he discovers that she is willing to marry him, he does everything in his power to make it happen. So they are married and have a son. Ruth and Naomi now will never have to worry about any more financial needs and for the rest of their lives. So they are all set for the rest of their lives because Ruth and Boaz got married. But Ruth's story does not end here. See, not only does God intend to fill our stomach with food and new housing, God's blessings extend to all of us here today. Because Ruth took a small step of faith. Because if we read again our New Testament scripture, we'll see that God's plan for Ruth is found in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew records the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So let's read this one together. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the direct bloodline of Jesus Christ. This scripture is a little bit, this was a little bit different. But Jesse is the direct bloodline for Jesus Christ. Now we see Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of David. David and Ruth are ancestors of Jesus Christ. So God had a great plan for her because he was bringing his son into the world that would not only be a blessing for David and for that family line, but for a blessing for all of us today. Now, what if God had answered only Ruth's expectations when she prayed her prayer? What if he had only answered her expectations, just find a place to work today? What if Ruth had just gone out to any old field and picked up just a handful of grain? What if she had just picked up what just she needed? What if God had given Boaz a heart to hire Ruth as an employee and not to notice her at all? What if Ruth had accepted so little or returned to her homeland with Orpah and missed the great plan that God had for her and Naomi? What if during all these trials and disappointment, Naomi had become so depressed, so bitter, that she just gave up on life and stayed in Moab? There are so many what ifs, and we hear them all the time. And there's a song I love to listen to. It's called Blessings. It talks about the what ifs in our lives. And it says, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace. We pray for comfort for our family. We pray for protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. We pray for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. You love us way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healings come through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you are near? What if all the trials in this life is really your mercies in disguise? And what if the trials of this life are truly your blessings? She says God has promised to be with his children always, during the good times and the bad times. He promised when I'm crashing a light and when I'm easing through the light that he's going to be with me and there's going to be consequences. He has promised never to leave us. However, in this story, it appeared that God had forgotten his family. Even the people who should have stepped up to help pretended they didn't even know these women existed. And for many of us, during times such as these, when people turn out their backs on us and we find that times are so hard, we find it hard to trust God. And I've seen people actually walk away from the church, walk away from God, because life has become so terrible. Life has become so hard. They can't feel his presence, and they can't cope with the pain. Today, some of you might be in that same situation. You're in desperate situations. You need employment. You don't see how you're going to get a job. You need food. You need a physical healing, and you need a spiritual healing, not only for yourself, but someone in your family as well. You may be burdened as a caregiver, and you're feeling overwhelmed. And you're not feeling that God is near. And you feel abandoned, and you feel alone and forgotten. And you just can't cope with any more unanswered prayers. So you too ask the question, where is God in all of this? And all you say, well, God, the answer is right there. All you have to do is do this. This is the obvious solution. Give me this. Do that. And God is silent. You're working hard, and you're out there trying to find a job. You're trying to do this, and you're trying to do that, and you can't get ahead. And God is silent. Since God reminds us in the book of Ruth that even in the dark days like the days of Judges, even when his people are disobedient, even in the dark night of our souls, even for poor widows, he is always near. And at these times that he will be there for us. He is always near. And all of these times are filled with doubts, fear, and anxiety. This just might be the place where God is preparing us for our part in his kingdom mission. His words say, be strong, be courageous, and keep the faith. Because he is faithful to his promise that he is always near during the good times and the bad times. Yes, it is in this story of love, loyal friendship, and commitment that God reveals his answer to our, where are you, God? Because we can see that God's watchful eye never strays from his people. He doesn't leave us in the mystery of hard times. And in these hard times of doubt, fear, and even a hostile, desperate world, just one small step of faith can make a difference in our lives. It is through faith, saints, that we align ourselves with the power of our great God. our great provider, our Jehovah Jireh. It is only through God who can make the difference in our lives. Saints, this beautiful story of Ruth and her step of faith reminds us that our question should not be, where are you, God, or what is God waiting for? But our question should be, what is he planning for our lives? Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your words that tells us that you are always with us. We thank you for telling us to be strong, be courageous, and keep the faith, Lord. Give us the courage to always take that small step of faith, Lord. Take that step of faith that will lead us and guide us back to you, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. How are you going to use us in your kingdom mission, Lord? And we just pray that you continue to work in our hearts and to encourage us to be the people of God that you truly called us to be. And for this, we give you thanks in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.